2 months ago, we heard from Simon Cole, the author of a book critical of fingerprinting called Suspect Identities. The occasion was a ruling by federal judge Lewis Pollack in a murder case in Pennsylvania in which fingerprint evidence was crucial to the prosecution. Judge Pollack found that the process of experts matching fingerprints is subjective and scientifically unreliable. Now, Judge Pollack has reversed himself on that point, so we've asked Dr. Cole to talk with us once again. Simon Cole, what was Judge Pollack's reasoning in saying, yes, they can present the fingerprint evidence in that case?
Judge Pollack concluded that although it's still not correct to call fingerprinting scientific, it's some kind of other expert knowledge, and while it still hasn't been scientifically tested, it nonetheless will be admissible based on the other factors that he analyzed.
And thus ends, I gather, a very brief episode of enormous hopes of people who oppose fingerprint evidence.
It seems so. This still may be just a beginning if this case is appealed and as other challenges are brought.
Judge Pollack cited the British example here and said that whatever the FBI is doing, I gather, Scotland Yard is doing too, so that worked in their favor.
Yes, actually, it's quite interesting. The legal history of fingerprinting in this country began in 1910 with a case called Jennings, in which the court reasoned that because fingerprinting was accepted in England, it should be accepted here. And now Judge Pollack does much the same in this case. There was a nice quotation from in 1900 from the San Francisco police chief F.H. Depew, who said, "The English have not been too stringent in their methods of identification. We in America demand something scientifically reliable."
But 10 years later, indeed, the British practice was adopted.
That's right.
In this, the era of DNA evidence, do we actually know of any case where fingerprint evidence convicted someone who was subsequently exonerated by, I think we all believe is the more accurate, DNA evidence?
There is this one case in West Virginia called Thomas where it appeared that that happened. There was fingerprint evidence which inculpated the defendant, and then there was DNA evidence that exculpated him. What the prosecution is now arguing is coming up with an explanation that fits both facts, which may or may not be true, that somebody else left the fingerprint and then the person who really did the crime left the DNA.
What is the essential problem with the expert testifying from the witness stand, "I've examined that print that was left on the doorknob and the print taken of the defendant, and they're a match"?
The essential problem is at what point that examiner is justified in saying there is a match. That examiner is seeing similarities between the two prints. How many similarities does that examiner need to see? And that still, even in this ruling, it's acknowledged that that question is just in the judgment of the examiner. Whenever they feel they've seen enough, that's enough. And that's sort of a circular standard that's highly problematic.
Simon Cole, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Simon Cole is the author of Suspect Identities, A History of Fingerprinting and Criminal Identification.